statement. Who remember what we were going over last week? Anybody? David, tell me something about him. Tell me something about David. What did he do? There you go. Kill Goliath. We were excited last week. I thought last week was just a beautiful spirit within God's house. It is lovely when you come into God's house and you feel that all the pieces just fall in place the way they should be. We had communion last Sunday, and I love to begin starting off a new year and having the opportunity to serve communion. It's our opportunity to say thank you for God for what He did for us. I was moved today as Rich was sharing about the simple things. And I know if you are fortunate enough to have the opportunity to sit in under a Sunday school class with Miss Ruby or Arlene, and especially we've had the conversation time and time again, Miss Ruby and I, about how God blesses those simple things. This book that I have in front of me, so many people, they get caught up, they try to read, they start into it, and they go, wow, scratch my head, I can't understand it. And they get frustrated. But I believe that this message of the gospel is a very simple thing. This whole book is nothing more than the Jesus story. Everything in the Old Testament is written to prepare for the coming of our Lord. Everything in the New Testament is focused upon the life and teachings of Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. So many times I think that we make it difficult. That's why I fully believe that we're just going to take a little while and we're going to look back at this story about David and Goliath because I like it. Every time I read it, David wins. That's the kind of story I like. And as Rich was praying, I started to reflect back of a very wise individual that told me one time and said, Charlie, you'll find out that so many people are looking to God for direction. They're looking for God for that path to know what to do next, which way to go. And he turned and looked at me, he says, but you know, sometimes God is looking to you. And when he said that, there was a pause because I knew in my mind, like, well, this is something said that I really should be clicking with me, and I'm not quite getting it yet, but I know if I answer, the answer is going to probably be wrong. So I just kept quiet. I kept quiet. But as time goes on, I really feel that the doors and the opportunities for us are open. God is waiting on us so much of the time to take that step, to do that thing, to be willing to boldly get out of our way a little bit and try it God's way. This morning early, I was not quiet. My dear friend, he called on the phone. I talked to him on Thursday, and thanks be unto God, when we talked on Thursday, he says, you know, I don't know if I should go or not. And he said, I don't know how I'm going to feel if I would go and something would happen to my mom and I wasn't there. So thanks be unto God, he was moved. We chatted on Thursday, and Friday morning he flew out to Wisconsin. So when I got that phone call this morning, it was a phone call when I saw the name pop up, and I said, hello. And he said just very brokenly, Charlie, and I could hear by the stammer in his voice, I knew what had gone on. And he said nothing on the phone. So I said, well, Keith, she has gone on to a far, far better place. No more pain, no more suffering. 3 times they brought her back just this week from near death. And I just talked to him a little bit, and I said, Keith, she's quite a woman, and I had the opportunity to know her just in one brief meeting. But I could tell by the boys that she raised and the girls she raised. And I said, Keith, she was from that different generation. And so many times I think about my father, my parents, especially when I think of my father, they're from that generation where it said that the back in those days, the ships were made of wood. And the men and the women, they were the ones made of steel. Remember that generation? And that's the generation she grew up with, feeding mouths when it was pretty difficult. So he couldn't speak on the phone. So I just talked. And he agreed with me. He agreed that he'd done the right thing. But you only have one mother. When you lose that mother, you know how painful it can be. And God's will was done in that situation. It was time for God to take a servant on home. No more pain, no more suffering. And he's been here at Mount Calvary. He's what's known as a friend of Mount Calvary. We have lots of friends. We have folks that just walk in, and as soon as they walk in, it's like, how you doing? It's great to see you. We missed you. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter. But you walk in, and people walk in and feel like they're right back at home. They feel like, you know what? Just glad I was here today, whether it's a Friday night concert, a Sunday morning service, or any time they slip by. Friends of Mount Calvary. He said, but just do me one favor and pray for the family today. Because I've been in your church and I know that y'all pray and believe in prayer. How thrilling it is for me to have an individual that has been a part of our service call the most painful time of life and ask that we pray for the family. I said, brother, we'll do that. And I said, God willing, I'll see you this weekend. You have no idea what it means to people to come in and simply be a part of it. So many times we feel like we're outcast. We feel like no one cares. We feel like we're just simply being passed over on our own. And I'm afraid that's probably what our central figure that we're going to talk about today felt also. I want to back up just a little bit. Last week we talked about the big thing. We talked about David, about how he didn't focus on the giant. Who did David focus on? He focused on God. And we finished last week by telling you that when you focus on the giant things in your life, you stumble. But when you focus on God, even the giants in your life, they tumble. And that's where our focus was. Now, how did we get there? We're going to back up just a little bit. David, His father's name was Jesse. How many brothers did he have? Anybody know? Don't look at Ruby back here. Just make a guess. How many days in the week are there? How many days in the week? Who said six? Who said six out there? Good. All of you said seven. You're right. Samuel was appointed by God to go find a king. He'd done that. King's name was Saul. Saul, wow, what a great, wide, mighty, wonderful king he turned out not to be. All the expectations, because the people, after 300 years, they've been doing their own thing. They acted, as it says in the scripture, as every man saw fit. And if you know, that doesn't work too well. I'm reminded of the couple who was visited, and somebody questioned about how they were raising their children. They said, well, we'd rather not discipline them. We figure that they will kind of figure it out on their own. So the individual walked outside and he said, well, let me give you a little example of what I think of. See that little patch of grass out there? And they looked and said, I don't see any grass. All I see is a bunch of weeds. He says, yeah, that's the part of the field that I let do its own thing. God's people had been without anyone to lead them for 300 years. And Samuel has that obligation. Here comes Saul, he's going to be a king, and he was one of the lousiest kings that the people ever had. So as Samuel got older, God spoke to him again. Go to that little town. You know what that town was? You sing about it a lot in December. You know what that town was? Old little town of? Boy, y'all are so smart this morning. Give them all a star over here, Hunter. They're doing good. Go to this little town that nobody's heard of. Just like you're going to some of those towns that Rich talks about in Texas. I've never heard of. I believe he knows where they're at. He's probably the only one to ever find them. Go to those little towns that I know of. I have a town up where my parents live. They live in a place called Bell's Valley. I know they live there because there is a sign. On one side, the sign says Bell's Valley. And if you're coming the other way, the sign says Bell's Valley. I don't know what's in Bell's Valley other than my parents. There's no post office, no store, but there is that sign. So I know where it is. God sent Samuel to that town, that little town of Bethlehem. And he said, go to the house of Jesse, and you will find the king. So each one of Jesse's sons were brought out. Each one. First one, tall, handsome, dark hair. Didn't like him in the first place, dark hair. Perfect. He would be the poster boy. God said what? No. Second son comes out. God says no. Third son comes out, and he was very learned. Not too much on the charisma, but great knowledge. He'd make a great king, wouldn't he? God said, no, each one. Jesse says, that's it. Samuel says, I'm sorry, but I thought you had eight sons. He says, where is your other son? Ah, don't worry about him. He's off. We sent him out of the way just to tend to the sheep. Bring him in. And you know the story because this is one of the great, great verses. God does not look on the outward appearance. But God looks at what? He looks at the heart of an individual. He looks at the heart of a man. And God was looking for someone who had a heart after God himself. Remember, as I told you last week, Paul called the apostle. John called the beloved one. But only David was called a man after my own heart. Referred to more than any individual in the New Testament other than Jesus himself. Jesus was called the son of David. And in the Old Testament, we have over 60-some books about his story and how many psalms that have just brought such a smile to our hearts and sometimes a tear to our eyes. It is well with my soul, penned by the hand of David. He had been passed over. God said, he's the one. Goes out. Goes and visits his brothers. Takes those small stones. When everyone else was afraid of the giant, what did he do? Took that stone. And he ran towards his giant. With Goliath simply laughing at him. Through that stone. Pierced deep into his forehead. Giant was killed, took his knife, took the giant's own sword and cut his head off. He got ahead of the giant there, Hunter. That's what that's called. Yeah. Then what happened? Now, when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword, his bow, and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. And Saul sent him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it had happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women had come out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the woman sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his ten thousands. Saul thousands, David ten thousands. Then Saul was very angry and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David ten thousands. To me, they have ascribed only thousands. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. Folks, David has done nothing but follow what God told him to do. David has done nothing but the right thing. He's been there when needed. He has overcome the great giant that brought fear into the armies, into the Israelites. And he has done nothing but act wisely, upstanding. So what's going to happen? Trouble's coming. And trouble's coming by King Saul, who is what? He is jealous. He is jealous of the wonderful things that David has done. Because he saw the popularity of David among the people. When people believe in him, you just can't stop it. I don't know, there are ball players out there that are good ball players, bad ball players. The people are just exciting. But you know, there's some ball players that people just like. There's some people out there that people just like them. They might not get it right every time. They might make mistakes, but you know what? People just like them. Because they know within their hearts, and they can feel within the heart of an individual where they are. And people saw and people felt that David had a heart for God. You know, so many times in our lives we feel like we've been overlooked. How did David start? By each one of his seven brothers going before him. He not even being invited in to the audition. He didn't get a notice of the interview until all seven had stood before Samuel. Many times in our own lives we felt that. I tell you why I like this story. There's nothing that brings more warmth in my heart than reading about the life and teachings of Jesus. But in so many ways, I feel that I personally cannot comprehend the things that he did and the wisdom he had and the warmth. Because as much as I try to and as much as I apply myself, I just can't do it. I mess up. And I am so glad that God in his wisdom saw fit to send a Savior to die for me. That as I confess my sins and place my trust in him, he guarantees me life eternal. That's a thing being saved, people talk about. Saved. I like that word, being saved. I'm saved. I'm saved, the old singer says, and I know that I am. There was a young man, took his mother out on the plane. He says, you know, Mom, everywhere you go, all you do is talk about Jesus. All you do is ask people if they're saved. Look, I'm taking you on this flight, and just for me, one time, can you just simply sit down on the plane? And don't bug anybody. Don't bother anybody. Don't be asking them whether they go to church, whether they're saved or not. Don't do that. Just sit down, relax, and enjoy the flight. She begrudgingly says, I will. Unless they ask me, I will. You know what happened? First thing, walk down right to the middle of the aisle. Southwest Airlines. They don't give you a sign. She walked up. You know what happened? Took her seat. She was quiet. Never mentioned anything. Next fellow walks along. Excuse me, man, is that seat saved? Oh, no, but I am. Let me tell you about it. You can't get away from it. It is within you. Linda Ramsey walked in today. First thing she told me, she said, my goodness, what a wonderful opportunity do you have for harvest opening up right across the street out there on the mount. Amen. That's kind of what I want to hear. We've been passed over. God loves us. He is going to use that thing that I can relate to. And that's people who haven't done it right all the time. It's people who've made mistakes, who've come up short. It's people who were passed over. But God knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And that's where the growth is going to happen. And that's where things are going to get done. He uses the Davids of the world. And I think we all have within our hearts something we relate to, the story. I have no idea what Brother Matt's going to preach about next Sunday. But trust me, he's a young man that has a heart for God. So I advise you to come on out and hear him. Miss Geese, are you going to be here if physically able? Even if we roll you in the bed here, are you going to be here next Sunday? Amen. Amen. Why? Because people who simply have a heart for God. I don't know how many would be back after I told you last week. We're going to talk about this for a few weeks. And either you all forgot or you decided to be here. Either one, I'm proud of you. God's been good to us, folks. He allows us to come into his house to sing praises unto his name. He allows us to know people, brothers and sisters, who bring warmth to our hearts. And I think he is getting us ready for something to do. Ready for something to do. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we've come into your house. We've sung praises unto your name. We have opened up your word, God, and we're just starting into the good stuff. We're just starting into a better understand how that this Bible is written as a guideline for us to live our lives in the best way possible to bring glory unto your name. We thank you for Jesus Christ being a personal Savior. We thank you for what he's done for each and every one of us within our lives. And we also thank you for the challenge that you give us within your word to reach out to a world that is simply lost, that needs to know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Heavenly Father, be with us. Give us strength. Give us mercy. Be with all those prayer requests that were mentioned earlier and the praises, God. We thank you for those folks being back safe and sound with us. And God, we thank you for what you are about to do within our lives, within our families, within our church, God. Let us be the light. Let us allow you to shine through us. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said amen and amen. I won't see you next Sunday, but God willing, you'll have a marvelous time. I am going this afternoon and watching some nice volleyball tournament, so I can't wait to get up here and jump up and down and yell and scream and all like that. So, Hunter, I'll try to behave myself later on, okay? You keep it watching. That's right. You'll be sitting next to me. Just like that. Just like that. I want you to stand and just sing a simple chorus. What do we have here? 235. Jesus is Lord of all. Let's sing that chorus together and you're dismissed. All my tomorrows, all my past.